This morning's scripture reading is from the prophet Joel. I'll be reading from the Tree of Life version, but those of you that would like to open up and follow along in whatever version you have, it's from Joel chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, and then verses 28 through 32. Just a couple of things. One of the reasons that I love this version is because it uses a lot of Hebrew language, descriptive language of God. So just when you hear the word Adonai, that is the Lord. The first two verses are called under the call for Teshuvah, or Teshuvah, yeah. And that means to turn back toward. So God is calling his people to turn back toward him. Another word you'll hear is ruach. That is the spirit of the Lord, Adonai. So let me read. The call for teshuvah. Yet even now, it's the declaration of Adonai, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, weeping, and lamenting. Rend your heart, not your garments, and turn to Adonai, your God. For he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abundant in mercy, and relenting about the calamity due to you. Who knows? He may turn and relent. And then the promise of Ruach Adonai, so the promise of the Spirit of the Lord. So it will be afterward. I will pour out my Ruach on all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Also, on the male and female servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth. Blood, fire, pillars of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood, before the great and awesome day of Adonai comes. Then all who call on Adonai's name will escape, for on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be rescue. As Adonai has said, among the survivors whom Adonai is calling. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading.
Thank you, Mark. Mark and I were roommates in Israel last year. He's still speaking Hebrew. It's good. Well, thinking of things that have always been right and true and normal, and how foreign they can seem to us now, my youngest daughter tells a couple of stories about her children encountering very refined urban people. She and her husband had their three daughters. This is maybe almost 10 years ago now. Had their three daughters in Boston going to the aquarium and the science museum and every good thing, and they needed to find a place to eat. I think it was in the morning when they were getting started, leaving their hotel room, and they found a little bistro, and there's not a lot of things to pick from down there for a family-sized group, so they went into this place, and it was obviously set up for people to sit in groups of one or maybe two, not five. But there was a little table there, and it had one of those benches that went, and there were two tables at the bench. And so you had to go between the tables to get onto the bench seating there. And so there were on one side a couple there, and they were very, very finely dressed, ironed, sharp creases, many thousands of dollars draped on their bodies. And so my daughter came with her group, and they were getting looks, especially from this couple, about, oh, don't sit here, please. That look. That's the fastest way to get my daughter to sit there. They don't know her at all. And so she was rather enjoying this, I think. And her husband was oblivious to the whole thing. As usual, it's fine. And she pretended to be oblivious and talked to her husband. But what she did, it should be registered as an offensive weapon. She put a 4-year-old with a full-size chocolate donut right at the break between those tables. And she said those two people moved into a space, the two of them, about this big. She said it was amazing. They couldn't get far away enough from those children and that little one with the chocolate donut. So years go by during the COVID. She lives in a fairly rural place, and on their road they have a little bit of what they call pavement. It's got, you know, holes in it that you could lose your car in. And the biggest thing that they worry about most weeks is whether or not there have been any black bear sightings. So that's kind of the tenure of their place. Well, there are some nice big old farmhouses on that road or back off that road, and a lot of those were purchased during COVID by people from cities, and they were houses that people on the road mostly couldn't afford. And so there's a house that her and her family calls the big house, and it's has adjoining property with theirs, and it's down the hill. It's a couple hundred yards back there, and you can see the driveway to it. So my daughter had her sister's kids with her, so there were all five of them. So you were like a 12-year-old, a couple of 10-year-olds, a couple of 8-year-olds. And she said, why don't you take this little jug of maple syrup that we made this spring down to the new neighbors to welcome them to the neighborhood? Well, she said these new neighbors were double income, no kids people. And so the kids all clonked down there in their rubber boots, you know, and clonked onto the porch, clonk, 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 rung the bell, and someone answered them across the intercom, and they was looking at them through the ring camera. And so this is not really quite the same speed as the rest of the neighborhood, but yes, hi, can we help you? We have some maple syrup for you. We're your neighbors. And so the door slowly opens, and this man looks out, and his wife is behind him. They're not very old, I think, but had done very well, obviously, and said, we don't really have any money. And the kids are looking at each other, money? What did this have to do with money? We're just giving you the syrup because, you know, we live next door and welcome to the neighborhood. And so they took it and kind of held it as syrup that wasn't made in a food factory. Children who have no doubt brought COVID that we were trying to escape in the city. And so my daughter is very entertained by these things. And so the what entertains her about it is that so many people see children, and now to have children and a family is an extreme thing. You're an outlier in society because everybody knows that children are extremely expensive, they're extremely inconvenient, and they're crowding up our already crowded world, whatever were you thinking of. Well, as foreign as children were to these people that my grandchildren encountered, as foreign as they were to them, so it was foreign to the people of God. It was foreign to Israel, the idea that the Holy Spirit would be poured out on all human beings. And so I want to spend our time today in the book of Acts at chapter 2. So if you would turn there, start turning there. That's the book right after the fourth gospel, John. It's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts. The gospels are the story of the life of the Messiah, Jesus. And then the book of Acts is the story of how that gospel came to be spread from Jerusalem all the way to Rome. And it's simply this idea. Everybody in that group that day, on the day of Pentecost, all knew about the Holy Spirit from the scriptures, but they didn't really think of it in terms of something having to do with their own life. What does this have to do with me? Just like I knew there were children, I think I may have been a child once myself, but why ever would I have one? Something new they're encountering. And so it is that God starts the last days, an age called the last days, by the power of the resurrected Lord Jesus giving the gift of the Holy Spirit to his followers. And that's what this section is about in the scripture. So, and I want to read through this and think about it as we go. Acts chapter 2. Let me start. When the day of Pentecost or Shavuot, Hebrew is Shavuot, it means sevens, so that is to say seven groups of seven weeks or groups of 7 days since the Passover. So when Jesus shared the last supper, the Passover, with his disciples, it's now been 7 weeks. Pentecost means 50, so it's the day after the 49th day. After the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. Well, that means from the previous chapter, there were about 120 believers in Jerusalem, and they probably had to pool all their money to be able to afford it. It would be like if we all went down and spent 7 weeks in Manhattan. We'd all be broke by then, right? And so that's kind of what was going on. They were country people in a city place. And suddenly, but this was a major holiday, and this was one in which the men were required to go, if it were possible, to show up in Jerusalem for Passover and this holiday of Pentecost, and then one in the fall as well. So verse 2, it says, suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting, like a tornado being in your house. And tongues of fire were spreading out, appeared to them, settled on each one of them, these 120 or so people, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them to speak. Now, Jewish people were staying in Jerusalem. Who else? Of course, Jewish people. Devout men. So it wasn't that women weren't allowed or that children weren't allowed. It's just that men were required to be there. And so if you could bring your family, you did. But if you weren't able to, at least you would show up. Devout men from every nation under heaven. Some of them had probably been there at Passover. Probably a lot of them had been there at Passover and knew that this Galilean prophet named Jesus from Nazareth had been crucified, executed by the Romans. Some of them may have stayed the whole time. If you came all the way from Rome to have the Passover, you might just, if you had business in Jerusalem, you might stay the 7 weeks. And when this sound came, the crowd gathered. So it wasn't just like opening the windows and a little breeze. It apparently was loud enough that people gathered. What is going on? They were bewildered because each was hearing them speaking in his own language. Ah! They were amazed and astonished, saying, all these who are speaking, aren't they Galileans? They're not locals here. We come here every year, and we know what Galileans sound like. What are they doing in Jerusalem. And why are they the followers of Jesus, you know, we might ask. And so it was apparent to them. And if you go to Israel, you encounter much the same thing, because there are people from all over the world there that come there. And even if you don't understand the Hebrew, you can hear the accent they're speaking it with. You can tell if somebody's from France by the way he speaks Hebrew. He's got a French accent, or Russian, or German, or African, or wherever they're from. And so verse 8 here, how is it that we each hear our own birth language? We had some very good friends who were from, the wife in the family was from Morocco. She was Jewish, and her family had been thrown out in 1967 or something thereabout. And I think her first language was Arabic, and second French, or maybe the other way around. But it wasn't Hebrew, and you know, Hebrew was a later addition. And so each group was hearing the good news about Jesus the Messiah being spoken in a tongue that they really knew. I mean, they could catch all the nuances. And then he proceeds to list, Luke wrote this, he wrote in verse 9, all these people from Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, locally, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya towards Cyrene, all the way in North Africa, and visitors from Rome. Very interesting. When you read the book of Romans in the New Testament, Paul is writing to a group in a place where he's not been before. He will end up there, but he's talking to them because, you see, Paul started most all the churches between Antioch in Syria and all the way through Turkey, what's modern-day Turkey, and through Greece and all the way almost to Rome, but he didn't start the church in Rome. Which is a wonder. How did it start? And this is a very likely or very possible and likely way that it got started, that these Jews heard the gospel while they were in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, and the church was born. So it says both Jewish people and proselytes, people who had converted to Judaism, Cretans from Crete and Arabs, we hear them declaring in our own tongues the mighty deeds of God. And they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to each other, what does this mean? Yes, that's a good question. And the answer is, it does mean something. Now others, the cynics, were poking fun, saying they're full of sweet new wine. They've been drinking all night and they're just still going. But Peter the fisherman from Galilee, probably not well-educated, but a very bold fellow who has received the Holy Spirit, and Peter standing with the 11, 11 again because Judas has been replaced in chapter 1 of Acts, Peter raised his voice and addressed them, fellow Judeans and all who are staying in Jerusalem. In other words, fellow members of the tribe of Judah, let this be known to you, or Jews, let this be known to you and pay attention to my words. These men are not drunk, as you suppose, for it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. And here we're going to rejoin with what Mark read for us. And just go a little bit here. And it shall be in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Even though it's mostly just men here, your sons and your daughters, God knows who they are and where they are. Your young men will see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my slaves, male and female, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. Could we get the first slide up, please? There we go. And so the Holy Spirit, the giving of the Holy Spirit, is what begins what the Bible calls the last days. And then it gives this list. young and old, male and female, slave and free. That is a whole world opened up for these people, and we'll talk more about this. But in chapter 1 of Acts, Jesus was with them, and he was taken up into heaven. And just before he was taken up into heaven, he gave them instructions. And he said, the baptism of John is parallel. He said he was talking about the baptism of John as being parallel with the giving of the Holy Spirit that only Jesus can do. Jesus said, for John immersed with water, but you will be immersed in the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And so it is to this day that we baptize with water, but it's Jesus who gives you the Holy Spirit in your heart and in your life. And that, Paul says, you are sealed for eternity by that Holy Spirit. And so this is an amazing change in world history right here. In terms of Bible history, this looks all the way back to the ancient world at the beginning of the book of Genesis, Genesis 11, where it talks about the Tower of Babel, where people's selfishness, they gather together. They all spoke one tongue, and they said, we will be like God. We've built a tower, and it goes all the way to heaven. Nothing we think of will be able to do whatever we come up with. And so here, the curse of Babel, where God confused their tongues and sent them scattered throughout the earth. This is just the opposite. It's been reversed. They can understand. It's the good news that's being spoken in their own tongue, and they're being gathered because of the good news. Selfishness pushes us apart, and the good news brings us together. Amen? The Holy Spirit of God is what we have together. We're connected by that. And so, you know, this question comes because we're Americans and we need to get things done now. Last days? What do you mean last days? How long is that going to last? And then he talks about, as Mark read, the day of the Lord coming. Is that close? What's the relationship between those two? So Peter here, who is filled with the Holy Spirit, is interpreting the prophet Joel, who prophesied by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And this baptism of the Holy Spirit formed the church. It made us the church. And what the church is that we are connected by the presence of God in all of our lives, those of us who are in Christ Jesus. And so the Holy Spirit distributes gifts all through our midst. All of us have different gifts from him, and we need one another. And so the Lord's aware of that. He puts groups of gifts together so that we aren't all doing the same thing and aren't all in need of the same thing at the same time. He fills us up and brings us up for the moment to speak his truth. He convicts us of sin. And, you know, the sin that we have to be careful of in this day is that we have to be willing to endure difficult times, not as being angry about politics, but as creators of life in every possible, starting with children. Having families and raising children, that's something that's from God. We're creating humans in our own image. That's what it means to be made in his image. We do that as well. And so we come to Jesus, the anointed King of Israel, the Christ, for forgiveness of sins, to be baptized in water, but then also baptized by the Holy Spirit, and only Jesus can do that. The New Testament teaches that we are in the last days. 1 Peter 1:20 says that he, Christ, was chosen before the foundation of the earth, or of the world. He was revealed in these last times for your sake. The writer of Hebrews says that Christ has been revealed once for all. In other words, he came, he died one time for our sins. He was risen one time to give us life. He has been revealed once and for all at the close of the ages. There have been many ages before, and we are in the age called the last days. And then Joel talks about the sun turning to darkness and moon to blood. That's yet to happen. That happens to introduce the day of the Lord. And we are in the last days that are ended by the day of the Lord. So the pouring out of the Spirit is the beginning of a new age, the age of Messiah's people, where there is no distinction between men and women. Men are still men, women are still women, but there's no distinction in God's eyes. He doesn't say to them, go ahead and take the slide down if you would. Men still need to be responsible for what they're responsible for, and women need to still be responsible for what they're responsible for. But God doesn't have any preference about how we're born. He doesn't say, I like you better, so you're first. Nope. He says, all of you who will come, who will say yes to Jesus, I will pour out my Spirit on you. It doesn't mean that old people and young people have no difference between them, but in God's eyes, there's no distinction. So we still need older people who have a little bit less energy, but have acquired some more wisdom about life to guide the young who have way too much energy and could use a little bit of direction. Slave and free, rich and poor, some people still of us have to work for a living and make our bread every day, and others have figured out or have been born with resources that God is calling them to share with others. So this is a change for the world. So I want to go back to the passage that we were called to worship with this morning, back in Numbers chapter 11, when Moses is getting the people ready to enter into the land, where he gathers 70 of the elders of the people and has them stand by the tent, the tent where there's the Ark of the Covenant in there, that's the tabernacle. And it says that the Lord descended in the cloud and spoke with Moses. And he took some of the spirit that was on Moses and placed it on each of the 70 elders. So he's doling it out very carefully. It so happened that when the Spirit first rested on them, they prophesied, but never again. That is a really good picture, a very early picture of the cessation, if you will, of gifts. Not everything lasts forever. They had the Holy Spirit, but they weren't necessarily prophesying. And the reason they prophesied was so that they would know, you have been touched by God. God has entered you. And so Joshua, the son of Nun, got upset about this. Hey, they're just prophesying any old thing. What's going on? And so he cried out to Moses, my Lord, stop them. He's that guy. He was a great military commander. But Moses said to him, are you jealous on my behalf? If only the Lord would make all the people prophets. If only the Lord would put his Spirit on all of them. If only. If only. And now in Christ, it is so. Because God changed the world by pouring out his Spirit on his people. And then Peter finishes up the quote from Joel here in Acts 2:19. He says, and I will give wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth beneath, blood, fire, and smoky vapor. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord comes. And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if I can get the slide up now that says the day of the Lord is coming. The day of the Lord is still in front of us. There will, in fact, be wonders in the sky and signs on the earth. And so the question was for the people standing there listening to Peter, as it is for us still to this day, who are in the age called the last days, what do I do? And so he shares with them the gospel story that he says, men of Israel, in other words, my fellow Jews, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man authenticated to you by God with mighty deeds and wonders and signs God performed through him in your midst. You saw his miracles, in other words, as you yourselves know. This Jesus, given over by God's predetermined plan and foreknowledge, was nailed to the cross by the hand of lawless men. And here he's speaking about the Romans. He's speaking about Pilate. You killed. And then that's where the other foot comes down. So he's saying, you who were in charge and the ones who carry out all these things, you own this. But God raised him, releasing him from the pains of death, since it was impossible for him to be held by death. Yeah? Amen. All right, could we get the last slide up, please? Enter the last days. That's the message. Be part of this. Reach out to Jesus. We have shared in his supper today. All of our sins were borne by him. And that means we all had a responsibility in his death. And we can all, though, find forgiveness through his death, and we can find life and power through his resurrection. Jesus paid it all. I love that old hymn. He did it. And so the question now is, well, and some will say, well, you have to have an experience like they had with wind and everything going on for the Holy Spirit. And that is just simply not so, because this book of Acts is going to take us down to Samaria. And the Holy Spirit is going to be given to those people. And then we're going to go to the house of Cornelius, the Gentile. And the Holy Spirit is going to come to him. And we're going to see that the Holy Spirit acts in many different ways, as we will have experienced ourselves. And so this gospel, this good news, as it went out to the Gentile world beyond this day of Pentecost, which was God coming to his chosen people, the people, the sons, men of Israel, men of Jacob, that's who Israel is. It's talking about the tribes of Israel. And he started this deal with them, and he's going to finish this deal with them. And so he comes to them first, and then to the Samaritans, which are the lost tribes, and then to the Gentiles, for most of us. And in the Roman Empire, most people, over half the people of the Roman Empire, were slaves. And there was Greek philosophy involved in that. Aristotle said that most people are born to be slaves. Thank you very much. And here's the big news about the Holy Spirit coming on young and old, men and women, rich and poor, slave and free, that the things by which everyone else evaluates your worth and my worth means nothing to God. He doesn't care if you're a slave. He doesn't care if you are the cleverest person ever. He doesn't care if you're beautiful. He doesn't care if you're strong. If you love him, he is going to pour his Spirit out on you because you have come to him in the name of Jesus. Amen. And so at the end of these last days, this age, the Holy Spirit is going to be poured out on the nation of Israel when they call upon the Lord, as Zechariah teaches us. We'll be talking about that further down the road. And there will be cosmic signs in the sky. But the question is, what about you and I and the Holy Spirit? Does that have to be a major event? I take you again back to where we were a few weeks ago in the story of Elijah the prophet, the guy who was terrorized and burnt out and made a long journey to Mount Sinai and went up there. And it says in 1 Kings 19 that the Lord told Elijah, go stand out on the mountain. He was in a cave. He says, go stand out on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, because the Lord's about to pass by. This famous passage. And it really teaches us a lot about God and how he relates to us. It says, a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. Now, these things were all things that the children of Israel had experienced back in Exodus 20 when they heard the Ten Commandments, when they were just coming out of Egypt. And this is long later with Elijah. It says, the Lord was not in that wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. Earthquakes are a big deal. We like those. You know, if we could just have an earthquake generator, how exciting would that be at church, huh? And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper, Eliyahu, Elijah. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. And then a voice came to him, said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Why are you here? And I asked that same question. What are we doing here and now? Are we doing what Jesus described? Are we eating and drinking and buying and selling like everyone was doing while Noah was building an ark before the flood? Are we just doing all those things, getting married, doing our life, having a career, having a good time? Good things, but not paying attention like Lot was doing in Sodom before the brimstone came. Are we doing that? The point being that the day of the Lord is coming, and we are his people. We need to pay attention to the world around us. We don't do, like as Dan described, we don't take the books of the prophets and the newspaper and set them side by side. We don't know what today's news really means. But we know that the day of the Lord is coming and that everybody has to choose whether or not to enter these last days. We need to tighten our belts around us, getting ready to travel just like the children of Israel did at the first Passover, waiting for the angel of death to pass over them and waiting for them to be released. We need to be baptized. Gathered as his people. We're going to have a baptism here. And if you have not been baptized, that is a commitment to the world saying, I belong to Jesus. And if you need to do that, then come and see me. Come see Pastor Dave. We'll do this. And that's part of a great, glorious thing. And it's good to be together. If you know, I know how it is. Well, I'm kind of busy. I'm going to be here. I'm going to be there. What we mean by preparing for the day of the Lord is don't miss this kind of stuff. Make it a point. Mark it on your calendar and make everybody else work around it. You know, be there. Be there with God's people like we are today. Be his prophets who are proclaiming his truth. Be his priests, a nation of priests, he says we are. And that just means living out holy lives in a very unholy world. You don't have to be extraordinary. You can just be normal. And normal is the new weird now. So if you want to be a rebel, there you go. Just be normal. The day of the Lord is coming. Enter his last days. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are a great and mighty King. And we serve you. And we ask that today whoever would want to enter these last days would say to you, Lord Jesus, this is what I need. I need to be one of your people. I need forgiveness for my sins. I need new life from above. I need your Holy Spirit to empower me as I walk through the rest of my days in this fleshly body. And whoever will say that today, Lord, hear their prayers and bless them and make them your child. And make them know for certain with no doubt that you have entered their life and that your Holy Spirit indwells them as we live on together forever. And we will thank you for these people. Thank you for our own lives today, Lord. Bless us in the days ahead. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.